Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide pregnancy and adoption services throughout all of Michigan with offices located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, but it is our passion. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is this radio show to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community. So we're really glad that you're listening in today. Thank you for being with us. If you'd like to call in during the show, we would encourage your questions or comments at 347-850-1100. Again, the number to call in is 347-850-1100. And I'm real excited today to welcome to the Adoption Focus show, Heidi Cole. Heidi, are you with us?
I'm here.
Good morning. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So we are talking about a topic and a subject that is something that we hear a lot of questions about, something that's interesting to people who are gathering information about domestic adoption. And we're going to try to dispel some myths of domestic adoption and talk about the truths and realities associated with adopting domestically. And you have a wealth of information to share with us, obviously, both personally and professionally. So if it's okay with you, I thought we would start just by having you share with the listening audience what your connection to adoption is.
Sure, yes. Domestic adoption is definitely very near and dear to my heart. I do have a professional and a personal connection. My professional connection is that I have worked at Adoption Associates since 2004, and I have been a home study caseworker. And then my personal connection to adoption is that my husband and I chose to build our family through adoption. We have two girls. They are age 7 and age 9, and we adopted them through AAI's domestic program. And we have open adoptions, and they are transracial adoptions. So I sort of get to live the adoption experience while I get to teach it to others and help other couples adopt.
And I'm sure that's wonderful for you. It sounds like 12 years in adoption professionally and then a mom by adoption as well. So thanks for sharing that. And I know that many people we hear from are just kind of generically speaking in the community think that adopting a newborn domestically takes quote unquote forever. People think, oh, it's a 10-year process or even more. Can you talk about the realities of this in terms of timing and such?
Definitely. And I will say that the idea that it takes 8 years, 10 years or longer, that is definitely a myth. That is not true. Although I will say that sometimes it feels like it's taking forever when you're with
right.
a family. I know that the adoptive families I work with feel like it's taking forever. But
sure.
at Adoption Associates, the average wait is 15 to 24 months. So, of course, there are going to be some couples it's going to happen sooner, and there are going to be others that it just takes longer to find that right match. But when the right match is there, everybody ends up very happy, regardless of what the timeline is. And that's also why I just think it's so crucial that you find the right agency, just to make sure that you understand that the agency has done a significant amount of placements and that that balances out with a number of waiting families. You really need to know those things to give you a realistic idea of how long the process should take. And in general, nationwide, most people complete a domestic adoption within 2 years. So.
Mm-hmm. That's great information. And I think that some information that we had chatted about previously, just statistics sort of, so to speak, is that there are more than 18,000 American families that are successfully adopting newborns every year. So the concept of newborn adoption just doesn't happen really is, as you said, a myth.
Mm-hmm.
What are the biggest challenges, in your opinion, that couples face in starting the adoption process?
Well, I think for a lot of couples, although this definitely does not apply to everybody, but the biggest challenge is moving on from infertility. If there are couples that have had their heart set on having a biological child, I think that the move to adoption can be hard at first. But once you start learning about the process, you start hearing experiences from other adoptive families, I think people feel a lot of hope and excitement. I've definitely seen that in the home study process. That, you know, as a caseworker, we hear the family story of trying for so many years to have a biological child and how hard it was. But then when they're finally sitting down with us and they're starting the home study process, you just see how excited they get when they realize that there's another way to become parents. So I think it brings a lot of hope. So I think that's the first challenge, is getting over infertility or moving forward from that. And then the second is just not knowing much about adoption. There's so much misinformation out there. Many of the people that we work with, they come to us and they don't have the accurate information about how adoption works, what the process is really like. And I think that sometimes that alone prevents people from considering adoption. And that's why it's so important to become educated, because then once you learn, then you pass on that correct information to family members and friends. But I think once couples get over those two challenges, the process of adoption doesn't seem as daunting, especially if they have a good agency that's guiding them throughout, like I know that AAI does.
Awesome. Right. And that makes a lot of sense. And not to jump ahead here, but I hope that those of you that are listening can also tune in next week, because we'll be speaking with another mom by adoption who will touch on some of these same topics from a very personal perspective. So this is really good how your show this week, Heidi, and then what we're planning for next week are really going to tie together. And talking more about, you know, the scared factor is what you mentioned. People coming into adoption, having seen stories on television, or reading a story in the newspaper and feeling really frightened about not only the process, but in particular that the birth parents will return after a relinquishment of their rights to try to take custody or regain custody of the baby. Can you talk about this concern a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So again, this is just another big myth that is perpetuated in the media. I think that the media loves to print salacious stories, and people love to listen to them and pass them on, which is why this line of thinking continues. But people who work in adoption, what we know is that this essentially never happens. And especially at Adoption Associates, we are working very carefully, very closely with the expectant mothers that we're working with to make sure that they really understand their options, that they, you know, understand what adoption means. They know that this is a legal and a permanent process. And we're working with women who are choosing to place their child for adoption because they really believe that it's in the best interest of their child. So I think when you have that understanding of the process, knowing that the women we work with are educated, that they're choosing this option, I think you realize how silly it would be for a birth mother to return after the rights are terminated. The birth mother, she's wanting stability for the child. And in many cases, she has a good relationship with the adoptive family. So why would she do that? It doesn't make sense. Which is why it really doesn't happen unless there's some very rare, you know, error or misinformation in the process. But this is, it's more of a myth, not a reality. I haven't seen it happen.
Okay. Another myth in adoption is that openness in adoption equates co-parenting. What are your thoughts on that?
It definitely does not equate co-parenting. As I mentioned earlier, we have varying degrees of openness with my daughter's birth families, and that's just not the case at all. Again, thinking in general, these moms are choosing adoption because they aren't ready to be parents at this time. And so in most cases, they have even personally selected the adoptive families. So these are couples that they really like. They're couples they respect, that they think would be really good parents. So the other thing is that a lot of our birth moms get a lot of joy out of helping a couple have a child when they wouldn't otherwise have one. So she's picked a couple that she thinks is going to be great parents to her child. Why would she go through the heart-wrenching process of adoption only to try to interfere down the road? It just doesn't make sense. And I, like I said, I haven't really heard of this happening. It hasn't been a part of my personal experience. My daughter's birth families have been nothing but supportive and encouraging, and it's been fun having them in our lives.
That's really nice to hear. And stereotypes exist in our society. There's no denying it. But when it comes to women placing children for adoption, the stereotypes are especially hard to hear. Unfortunately, one stereotype that we hear is that birth mothers are irresponsible teenagers who are, quote unquote, giving up unwanted children. So I really think it's important for us to take pause here and talk about this subject a bit.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Because they really couldn't be further from the truth. So first of all, most of the women who are placing babies for adoption aren't teenagers, as you know, the media kind of portrays that they're all young teenagers. That's just not the case. Most of them are women in their 20s, and they're usually parenting other children, one or more. So they know how hard it is to be a parent. They know how time-consuming it is, and they know that they don't have the capacity to parent another child right now. And so that is when they look to adoption. And adoption is actually the opposite of irresponsible, because the birth mom, she's taking responsibility for that pregnancy, for that baby, and she's making the decision that she feels is the most responsible and best for her child. That's totally different than the idea of an uncaring person, you know, quote unquote, giving up her child. These women love their children. They want the best for them. But they know that at this time, in this moment of their lives, they're not able to give that child everything that they want that child to have, whether that is time and attention, financial stability, a two-parent family, whatever it is that a birth mom is looking for in an adoptive couple, that's what she's wanting them to have. So a mother placing her child for adoption is actually a really sacrificial love, because it's one that hurts her. It's a hard choice for her because she's losing. You know, she's losing that child, but she also knows that that is what is best for the baby. And hopefully, if she has a good relationship with the adoptive parents, there is hope for some contact in the future. So she really doesn't truly lose a child, if that makes sense.
It definitely makes sense. And I think that concept of, you know, unwanted or giving up and is something, unfortunately, that the women that we work with hear all too often in their own social circle, within their own family. And so it's something that as professionals individually and as an agency together, that we are constantly making part of our education to try to combat that a bit and to empower and uphold these women for the decision that they're making, because it is a decision, as you said, that's completely made out of love. And we honor and respect that very difficult decision they make, and hate the fact that this stereotype or myth, as we like to say, exists at all, that we're even having to discuss this. Is unfortunate. We talked earlier, Heidi, about the challenges that prospective adoptive families face when they're first starting the process. But what do you think are challenges that they face as they continue forward with their adoption journey?
That's a good question, because so much of parenting kids who are adopted is the same as parenting biological kids. All the joy, all the fun, the hard stuff, so much of that is the same. But when you think of adoption, there is also an extra layer of complexity. And it really is the parent's job to help the child process their adoption at all the stages of development and what that means for them. So that means at age 4, at age 10, as teenagers, the parents need to be talking to their kids about how are they feeling about adoption and how they join their family. What are they thinking about their birth family? And this is whether or not they have an ongoing relationship with the birth family or not. So definitely just kind of addressing, you know, the processing of adoption is one thing. And then the birth families actually can be sort of a separate issue, although I don't necessarily think of it as a challenge because it can be such an amazing thing for everybody involved. But this is a different type of relationship than many people have. So maintaining that relationship over the years can have its different dynamics. When the kids are young, it's the adoptive parents who are really kind of keeping that relationship going with either the pictures and the letters or the visits. And then as the child gets older, which my kids aren't quite at that point yet, but they're sort of going to take over, you know, what they want that relationship to look like and what they want that communication to be. So then I think my role will be more of like a guiding role, not necessarily directing it, but, you know, taking my cues even more from what they're wanting to do. And I think the other thing to always remember, too, is that even if you have a closed adoption. You have no relationship with the birth family. The birth family is always there. And talking to your child about why you don't see them or why you don't send them pictures and letters, why there isn't contact, that's also important. And then joining with them in whatever feelings they have about it. You know, sometimes adoptive parents, we only want to focus on the really happy aspect of adoption, which there's definitely that side. Adoption is amazing. It's wonderful. But there's also that other side that has the loss, that has the loss of the birth family and then the grief that comes with it. And every child responds to that differently. So as parents, we need to be okay with the fact that our child might have some sadness about that. That's okay. It doesn't mean that the child doesn't love us any less. It's okay if they love their birth family. It's okay even if they say they miss their birth family. But I think, so the things I just talked about there are the more complex things that adoptive parents have to handle. And hopefully we as caseworkers are kind of getting them started on their way so they can do that confidently and securely.
Right. And so just a couple of follow-up questions. You talked ago about the adoptive parent's responsibility being to help the child process the adoption. Can you tell us what you mean by that? How, I know you gave a few examples of that, but in your vision, what, how does an adoptive parent help a child process their adoption?
I think, first of all, it's just cultivating an atmosphere in your house where it's okay to talk about adoption. It's okay to talk about the birth family. It's okay to talk about the good and the bad. And what we definitely don't want to do is forcing conversations on kids. That's not what we want to do. But I ask a lot of questions, and I just ask them kind of just occasionally, you know, from time to time to sort of see, you know, where my kids are with, you know, what they're thinking about their birth families. And, you know, with us, because we have transracial adoptions, you know, race comes up a lot. We talk about race probably every day in our house. So processing all of that, you know, I don't look like my parents. What does that mean for me? So just having those conversations and being open again to, so your kids know it's okay if I say, no matter what I say, it's okay. Whether I'm saying something really positive or if I have some questions or some hurt or some even anger, you know, about this, it's okay. I can tell mom and dad because I know that they're a safe place to talk about it.
Right. That's a very good point. And when we talk about birth family relationships, you touched on this too. What, and then those do, relationships, as you so perfectly said, do change over time, sometimes for the positive and maybe sometimes not. How do we recommend parents handle that, and who do they turn to for help and support if they're just not sure how to handle it?
How to handle that, just the ongoing maintaining that relationship?
If something doesn't feel right or something has come up and they're not sure what to do about it, the relationship is now changing and it's different than what they first knew and were comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, if that was the case, I would definitely encourage the family to go back to the agency. I mean, I know at AAI, we get calls all the time from past families who have adopted and are in a new situation and just have some questions and want a little bit of guidance. I know that I personally have kept in touch with a lot of my adopted families that I did home studies for, and I've had some of them call me and email me way past, you know, the time of the adoption. So we love to hear from our families, and we're always available to, you know, offer a listening ear, to offer our suggestions and our advice. So I think that's a great option. And then hopefully families also have cultivated relationships with other adoptive families. And if they've done that in their personal life, then they already have a support network kind of built in. And so they can also turn to those friends and maybe even family members to kind of get their two cents on it as well.
Good information, Heidi. And these were just a few of kind of the myths that we've wanted to discuss, but there are many more. And so maybe at some point in the future, you'll have to come back on and we'll kind of go through this again, because we just kind of scratched the surface today, if you will. But I do appreciate you being with us. And we also want to say to anyone who may be listening that now could just potentially be the perfect time for your family to adopt. And we'd like to hear from you with questions or just to get more information. We'd be happy to share about domestic adoption with you off air as well. Heidi, thank you very much for being on
Thank you for
Adoption
having
Focus
me. It was
today.
Very fun.
Yes. It was. You had wonderful information for us. And for those that are listening, please remember that Adoption Focus airs every Tuesday at 11, and most Tuesdays we are live, so we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with Adoption Associates, certainly give us a call at 800-677-2367. Again, Adoption Associates at 800-677-2367. You can connect with us also on the web at adoptionassociates.net. We do hope that you can tune in next week when we will be speaking with an adoptive mother who will share their journey to adoption domestically. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. I hope you all have a great day. Bye-bye. Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you. Bye.